It's time for Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
Fletcher Tabateau joins us today to discuss the Commerce Commission's fuel price report and the Infrastructure Commission, being spearheaded by Infrastructure Minister Shane Jones. Firstly, though, I asked New Zealand First's response to the National Party's economic discussion document.
It's kind of fine in principle, but some of the commentary have pointed out quite rightly that this kind of best serves it doesn't even make up a good pamphlet kind of thing. It's a bite, and I think for me the biggest irony of all of this is in 2015, National pushed through quite strongly, and we, New Zealand First, thought quite inappropriately, the new health and safety legislation. And you know how they talked about creating a bonfire in legislation? Well, their own legislation on health and safety is going to be the core of that bonfire, apparently. They're going to burn it up and start it again, and start again. And New Zealand First was there at the time saying, this is crippling, this is too much, it won't achieve anything. And apparently, finally, they agree. It's just kind of really symptomatic of National, really.
I was going to ask you, what regulations would New Zealand First be in support of getting rid of?
Actually, I've been out on the public speaking kind of run of late in my job, and we think that one of the great inhibitors to building and construction, for example, is overly litigious legislation. There's just this industry of rules, and it just makes it really hard and puts on a lot of cost to fundamentally building a home, for example. And so New Zealand First has said for a while, and I've even brought focus groups together on how can we safely look at getting rid of some legislation or regulations that still maintain safety for the workers on a building site, and a healthy and safe home. But you know, this is overburdensome, what can we do? And apparently that's what National wants to do. I'm not too clear on that, but, you know, they're going to burn something.
I want to come back actually to that, because I want to talk to you about the Infrastructure Commission, but while we're on the discussion document, their proposition to raise the retirement age, what does New Zealand First think about that?
Oh, it makes us angry. It makes us frustrated. I think I've been on your show before to talk about the retirement age, and I said it then and I'll say it now. People keep saying it's unaffordable. Yep, the cost of funding superannuation will go up slightly, but compared to just about most of the rest of the world, it will still be a tiny fraction of our GDP. It will go up, yes, but it'll be a tiny fraction. And as I'm, what's really important for people to remember is people, you know, these are people who have worked all their lives, paid their taxes. This isn't a benefit. This isn't an entitlement. And so, and the other fundamental part of that is they don't save it. They spend it straight away. So it goes back into our dairies, into our supermarkets, into their grandkids and schools and uniforms. And, you know, it is a fundamentally sound and proper thing to do, to keep it at 65.
When you say it will go up, that's because we have an ageing population, right? So projected by 2036 that one quarter of New Zealanders will be aged 65 plus. So do you mean that it's going to go up because there will be more people to look after, and that's just, it just has to be?
Yep, there will be more people to look after. But those projections on costing for that make a lot of assumptions, as a lot of financial and economic modelling does. And one of the assumptions is around productivity and the way that the economy grows. And it basically assumes no productivity growth. And if you accept that as fact, then the cost of financing all of this would be quite high. But one of the big things that this government doing is addressing productivity and the fact that we need to grow the economy, not by selling more expensive houses to one another or artificially growing the population with a poor immigration policy. We need to do it by being clever, by being smart through tech industry, by making people in New Zealand richer and richer as individuals. And that way, the cost, the burden of superannuation, which isn't what everyone thinks, will be less again.
So do you think it's misleading to sort of, you know, apply that notion that all of the young people will be paying for the older people? And in particular, if we have a decreasing, you know, young population and an increasing elderly population, you know, do you see what I mean? Is it misleading to think that burden is sitting?
It's not misleading. We've got to have these conversations, but it is misleading to suggest that, for example, where do we think that the money's coming from now for super annuitants? It's people like you and I who are paying our taxes, and that was the case the generation before, and it'll be the case when everyone says there's going to be this amazingly huge bubble of people claiming superannuation that we can't afford. That's true to an extent that the population will be older, but it also will happen the generation after, when you retire, that people who are working when you're retiring will be paying for your superannuation. But you're going to work for the rest of your life. You're going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax. And some of that, a tiny fraction of that, is going to come back to you to make sure that you're safe, that you're sound, and you're not living below the poverty line when you retire and stop working. And that's really, really important.
All right, well, moving to the fuel price report, I wanted to touch on this because we haven't spoken since then, and I'm just wondering, was it really a surprise that petrol was expensive?
It wasn't the question of, is petrol expensive? Petrol in New Zealand is about average compared to the rest of the developed world. It's kind of in the middle in terms of pricing. The question that we asked when Minister Robertson and Farfoy went around asking political parties what industry do we think the Commerce Commission should be looking at, New Zealand First said straight away, let's look at petrol companies, because I've got friends in the petrol industry, and they were telling me years ago that the margins for the wholesalers was getting bigger and bigger. And they were just able to do that because there's essentially no competition, price competition amongst themselves. Actually, because there's only four or five players in the market, they're able to charge more than they normally would if there was good, healthy competition.
And so in terms of having good, healthy competition, if that's the solution in terms of getting more options available, basically, to consumers, isn't that kind of going against... In terms of if we're facing a climate crisis, shouldn't we be providing less petrol?
Well, that's actually one argument, that actually leave the price of petrol where it is, because it incentivises people to make the hard decisions about how they transport themselves and their family around, and maybe they'll walk or cycle or hop on a bus or a train. And we can have that conversation, but right now, like, no one's suggesting that there needs to be more players in the market. That's what the Commerce Commission does. So in New Zealand, there are so many industries, because we're such a small country, where there's only like three or four or even two big players. And so the Commerce Commission's job is to say, because there's not a lot of competition, we're going to come in and we're going to regulate how much profit you're going to make and what price you can charge. And that's actually more common than you think. So that will be the likely outcome. It depends what the report says, from the final report says from the Commerce Commission in December. That's probably one of the recommendations.
And just finally, the Infrastructure Commission, that was announced in February this year, but it's now had its first reading in Parliament. I'm just wondering, I mean, yeah, give us a bit of an idea of what the Infrastructure Commission is.
This is fundamental. I mean, I know both in New Zealand First absolutely agreed that infrastructure in New Zealand had been falling behind and literally falling apart. And it's no exaggeration to remind people about Middlemore Hospital and, you know, you know, I don't want to say what was running through the walls because they couldn't afford to maintain the buildings there. So in our roads need upgrading, bridges are literally falling apart, schools are getting old and dilapidated. Well, we need more schools because the population has grown so much. So the problem in the past with infrastructure is governments will go, oh, now's the time to build this bridge. And, you know, companies bid for it. One company gets it and they build a bridge. That's wonderful. But then there's nothing for years, and that business goes out of business, and those skills leave the country or go and do something else. So what the Infrastructure Commission is tasked to do is to go, what infrastructure do we need? Can you please figure out how to prioritise that? What's going to be the most important? But really importantly is what's the pipeline going to look like? How do we create a workflow or a pipeline of work so that these businesses can have surety of work over the next, you know, 30 years kind of thing, so that they can bid one another against one another, knowing that there's going to be a job next year as well, and we're going to build a school here, build a road over here. And that's going to be really important, because when they shut up shop and leave the country or shut down and go and do something else, it's really expensive to fire that all up again.
And how much is this connected to the recently announced discussion policy on urban development? Because that's also got a 30-year sort of plan.
Well, infrastructure will be part of that. And I know the Commission will look at what the urban development planning looks like, because you're going to have some pretty fundamental infrastructure involved So they relate, but they're not interrelated, if you know what I mean. Does that answer your question? They'll be cognizant of that, but that would be one small part of what it is that they have to consider.
That was Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
That wasn't